Welcome to the radio ministry of the Seed Christian Fellowship. The Seed is a Christ-centered, God-glorifying, Spirit-filled fellowship of believers eager to share God's love with you. No matter where you've been or where you're at, you are welcome. The Seed is a place to belong and grow in God's grace and love. Our prayer is that you will experience God's grace at the Seed and that you will come to know God's love. Grow in Christ's grace, go in the Holy Spirit's power, sow seeds of faith in our world. Welcome to this week's Seed of Faith.
Welcome to this week's Seed of Faith, brought to you by the Seed Christian Fellowship. This is Pastor Dave, and if you need some prayer during this season, beginning of the new year, and email me at Pastor Dave at the Seed Christian Fellowship, and our church will pray for you. If you need a Bible, we'll send you a Bible. If you need to find a local church in your area, we will help you find that. Our scripture readings for today come from the Old Testament prophet Isaiah and from Paul's letter to the Philippians. Before we go to God's word, I'd ask us to just go to the Lord in a moment of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we come today not because we are worthy. We come because you are worthy. Help us to see you in our daily moments. Open the eyes of our hearts as we hear your word. Your word is sharper than any two-edged sword, and we pray that your word would shape us and mold us, and we would become more and more like you. Amen. If you have your Bibles, it's Isaiah 26, 1 through 4, a small little reading in the Old Testament prophet Isaiah. I personally like tying the Old Testament with the New Testament because we see how God's word is so interconnected. Isaiah 26, 1 through 4. In that day, this song will be sung in the land of Judah. We have a strong city. God makes salvation its walls and ramparts. What a beautiful word. What a beautiful word picture. Salvation is the walls and the ramparts, the fortress of the city. Your salvation is so important. I'm going to digress for a minute. Your salvation, if you know you are, I'm going to use this word, saved. If you know that Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior, you have eternal life. I don't know what you're facing, but God does. And he says, I will be your wall. I will be your rampart. Verse 2, open the gates that the righteous nation may enter, the nation that keeps faith. You will keep in perfect peace him whose mind is steadfast because he trusts in you. Trust in the Lord forever, for the Lord is the rock eternal. I would say if you were marking in your Bibles or if you wanted a passage to memorize Isaiah 26, verse 3 and 4. You will keep in perfect peace those whose mind is steadfast because they trust in you. I would pray that your mind would be steadfast and that you would know the perfect peace and the powerful presence of the Lord. Verse 4 says, trust in the Lord forever. Trust in the Lord forever. Not when things are going good, but when things are going bad. Trust in the Lord forever. For the Lord is the rock eternal. And our New Testament reading comes from Paul's letter to the Philippians. It's chapter 4, 1 through 7. Therefore, my brothers, you whom I love and long for, my joy and crown, that is how you should stand firm in the Lord, dear brothers. I plead with Euodia and I plead with Syntyche to agree with each other in the Lord. Yes, and I ask you, loyal yoke fellow, help these women who have contended by my side in the cause of the gospel, along with Clement and the rest of my fellow workers whose names are in the book of life. Rejoice in the Lord always. And I will say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your request to the God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, If anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put it into practice, and the God of peace will be with you. The God of peace. The God of peace will be with you. Peace, the peace of God. Well, how did you know that God was with you? Have you been anxious this week? Paul tells us in the closing of this letter of joy to the Philippians to bring every one of our requests to God. That means we are to present every request to Him and make Him known and make it known to Him. It says, present your request to God. I can tell you that as a pastor, one of the most amazing things I run into is that most people don't bring all their prayers or requests to God. Let me say that again. I've been a pastor for a long time, and I talk to people about a lot of things. I do a lot of pastoral care, a lot of pastoral counseling, and I said, well, have you talked to God about this? Well, I don't want to bother God with this little detail. I kind of chuckle, and in fact, I'm chuckling right now when I think that. God knows all the little details about your life. And you know what? He's big enough to handle the little things, and He's big enough to handle the small things. Paul says, bring all your requests. In the Greek, the word is panta, and it translates all. I mean, that's what it means, all. Don't bring one or two, or don't wait to come to God with the big things. Come to Him with the little things, too. It's amazing. Many times when I meet people and they share what they're going through, I'll say, have you brought it to God? Sometimes I get the answer, oh, I don't want to bother God with these little things. But we're supposed to bring them all. I love the verse in Isaiah when the prophet says, you will keep in perfect peace those whose mind is steadfast. Are you looking for peace today? Maybe it's peace in your job, peace in a relationship, peace in your finances, peace in your health. And I can tell you that your mind is running all over the place. And you're troubled and worried about many things. It says, you will keep in perfect peace those whose mind is steadfast because they trust in you. Trust in the Lord forever, for the Lord is the rock eternal. Perfect peace. What a wonderful thought. It comes by presenting all your requests, your prayers, your petitions, your thoughts, your imaginations to God and trusting in God. I have a question for you today. What are you thinking about? Maybe you're driving, maybe you're working, maybe you're at home, maybe you're, I don't know where you're at. What are you thinking about? When my wife and I were first married, we were not Christians. And we did not know how to communicate very well. I always say I was a very mature 19-year-old when I got married. And I joke about that because I don't know too many 19-year-olds that are very mature. But we were married at 19. We weren't Christians. And some of the biggest arguments we ever had were over me trying to tell my wife that she could not feel a certain way. Now, I don't know if you're married out there, but don't try and tell your wife or your husband that they can't feel a certain way. And she would tell me what I was thinking because I wasn't talking to her. Now, I don't know, this is really not a marriage class, but we had a really hard time in the first years of our marriage. Now, my wife, her name's Jacqueline, I call her Jack, is Italian. Actually, she's Sicilian. And she's full of feelings and emotions. Maybe we have some Italians listening right now and you understand all of your emotions. One minute, she would tell me she loved me. And the next minute, she was madder than a hornet and a firecracker was going off. And she would tell me, well, she couldn't stand me. Growing up in a very stoic English home, that's where I grew up. I didn't grow up in an Italian home. I grew up in this very stoic English home who never expressed any feelings. I had three brothers. We didn't share our feelings at all. My wife would try and tell me what I was thinking. And we would end up in the biggest arguments because I didn't know how to express my feelings or my thoughts. So my question today is, what are you thinking? I know what some of you are thinking. You're thinking that Pastor Dave's supposed to believe this peace and love stuff about God because he gets paid to. But really, can God handle all that I'm thinking? Psychologists say that the average person has 10,000 separate thoughts each day. That works out to about 3.5 million thoughts a year. Just think. There's a word, just think. What are you thinking? Just think. If you live to be 75, you'll have over 26 million different thoughts. Already, most of you listening have probably had 2,000 separate thoughts since you got out of bed this morning. I don't know what time you're listening to this. You probably have another 8,000 thoughts before you go to bed. Then you'll start all over again. Every one of those 10,000 thoughts represents a choice you make. I'm going to pause there because I want that to register. Every thought that you have represents a choice that you make or a decision that you will take. There are positive thoughts and there are negative thoughts. And some of the negative thoughts that come to us are like, well, self-pity, anger, resentment, bitterness, blaming, hurt, distrust, frustration, and even fear. Have you ever had any of those thoughts? Maybe you're having some of them right now. And maybe you're saying, well, Pastor Dave, you're kind of meddling. You've been listening to The Seed of Faith, brought to you by the Seed Christian Fellowship. This is Pastor Dave, and I'm glad that you're listening. I get a lot of responses. People send me emails with prayer concerns, and sometimes they talk about the messages. And I did one a couple weeks ago about baptism, and I know I'll get some messages on that one. But I'm talking about your thoughts today. What are you thinking about? And I mentioned self-pity, anger, resentment, bitterness, blaming, hurt, distrust, frustration, and fear. I grew up in a home that had a lot of negative thoughts. I grew up in an alcoholic home. Anger, resentment, bitterness, hurt, distrust, blaming, and self-pity, they were all tools used to manipulate and control. I have to tell you that at the first few years of my marriage, I tried using some of those thinking patterns myself. I even tried self-pity to control or manipulate my wife to get her to do the things that I wanted. To tell you the truth, it didn't work very well. My wife, Jack, would say, well, I see you're having a pity party, and there's always and pity parties are always reserved for just one, and I'm not coming to your party. We had a lot of communication to work out the first few years of our marriage. We've been married 44 years now, and we've learned a lot about communication. So my so what question I keep coming back to as I write this message is, what are you thinking? 10,000 thoughts a day, and each thought represents a choice that you're going to make. I have heard some of these sayings about thinking. I'm going to pass them along, and I'll send them to you if you want them. You can email me at Pastor Dave. If you think you can't, you probably won't. Can't lives next door to won't, don't you know? If you think angry thoughts, angry words are sure to follow. If you dwell on your problems, well, they'll soon overwhelm you. If you feel like a victim, soon you will become one. If you give way to worry, don't be surprised when you get ulcers. If you think low thoughts, low living is soon to follow. If you expect defeat, you'll probably lose. If you dwell on rejection, you'll set yourself up for even more rejection. If you focus on how others misunderstood you, you will soon become angry and bitter. Be careful of your thoughts. They may break into words at any times. 10,000 thoughts a day. Each thought represents a choice. So what are you thinking? Are you thinking negative thoughts? Are you thinking positive thoughts? In our reading today, Paul gives us a list of 8 virtues that we're to think about. He begins with each virtue with the word whatever. Whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, whatever is excellent or praiseworthy, think on these things. What are these things? The first whatever is to think about whatever is true. The word that Paul uses for true is aletheos. Dr. Walter Cavert reported a survey on worry that indicated that only 8% of the things people worried about were legitimate matters of concern. The other 92% were either imaginary, never happened, or involved matters over which the people had no control over. 92% of the things we worry about are imaginary, never happened, or things we have no control about. Jesus gathered his disciples around him the night that he was betrayed and before he was crucified and told them to not let their hearts be troubled. In John 14, he says these powerful words, "Don't let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God. Trust also in me. In my Father's house, there's many rooms, and if it were not so, I would have told you. I'm going there to prepare a place for you, and if I go to prepare a place for you, I'll come back and take you to be with me where I am. You know the way where the place that I'm going." Thomas said, "Lord, we don't know where you're going, so how can we know the way?" And Jesus answered, "I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you really knew me, you would know my Father as well. From now on, you do know him and have seen him." Jesus is our truth. I would encourage you to think about Jesus. Think about his love. Think about his miracles. Think about his life and grace that he's offered to you and me. That part of the book of Philippians is a really good part. Many people have used this verse as a life verse. We may think about what is true. We're to think about God's love letter that he's given to us. In John 17:17, he says, "Sanctify them by the word, by the truth. Your word is true." The second whatever listed is to think about whatever is noble, or simos is the word, which means in the Greek to think about what is noble, honorable, what is worthy of respect. In essence, what is it that you think about? During those 10,000 thoughts a day, what do you think about? Do you think about your car, your job, your money, your family, your wealth, your power, your influence? Or do you think about God? The third whatever listed is to think about what is right, which comes from the Greek word dikaios, which is translated righteousness. I have this picture taped by my computer. Every time I turn it on, every time I'm tempted to click on a website that I shouldn't, I see this picture. There is never a wrong time to do the right thing. Righteousness in the Hebrew language meant to walk in a straight line. How good it would be if we were able to think in a straight line and not having our mind being torn in two different directions. Righteousness can also be translated right living. Paul was giving us a great list for our 10,000 thoughts each day. And the fourth whatever listed is to think about what is pure, hagios. This means in Scripture is to be free from sin. Paul is suggesting that this means we're not to be around the jokes or the gossip that start to turn into they digress into the pit. It's time to change the conversation or move away from those thoughts. You can't stop. Martin Luther said, "You can't stop a bird from flying over your head, but you can stop the bird from building its nest." You got to take those thoughts. The fifth whatever listed is to think about whatever is lovely. The Greek word that Paul uses for lovely is prosyphilis, and it's only used here in all of Scripture. It can be translated with words like sweet, gracious, generous, or patient. In essence, Paul is encouraging us to focus our thoughts on what is lovely, gracious, generous, and patient, and not what is unpleasant. And the sixth whatever listed that Paul says we're to think about is admirable, which means those things which are highly regarded. Of our 10,000 thoughts a day, Paul is giving us a whatever list to become better people. The last two Paul lists are excellent and praiseworthy. Excellent and praiseworthy are words and thoughts that draw our minds and hearts heavenwards. King David wrote in Psalm 19, verse 7 through 11, these words, "The law of the Lord is perfect, reviving the soul. The statutes of the Lord are trustworthy, making wise the simple. The precepts of the Lord are right, giving joy to the heart. The commands of the Lord are radiant, giving light to the eyes. The fear of the Lord is pure, enduring forever. The ordinances of the Lord are sure and altogether righteous. They are more precious than gold, more than pure gold. they are sweeter than honey from a comb. By them is your servant warned. In keeping them, there is a great reward. So what? So what? The so what for us today is, what are you thinking? You have 10,000 thoughts today that are going to, according to the psychologist, 10,000 thoughts that are going to come through your mind today. And you can choose where those thoughts will go. And usually, many of those thoughts will become choices. And those choices become actions, and those actions become your character. So what are you thinking? Here are some thoughts I came across. If you focus on the truth, well, you'll speak the truth. If you look on noble things, nobility will be a mark of your life. If you seek out lovely things, your life, well, it's going to be lovely to others. If you dwell on all that is right or which is right, that which is wrong will have no attraction to you. We have 10,000 choices each day, and we get to choose the right choice or the wrong choice. To dwell on what is right, we will be very attractive. If you think on pure things, well, I mean, you'll become pure. If you look for admirable things, you'll find them. And that, I mean, that these are not just cliches. They're not just simple sayings. This is God's word. This is God's word to you. God is asking you to think about whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure. If anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about these things. These little sayings are not just ways to live. I mean, these are ways that you can live. If you look for the admirable things, you'll find them. If you search for excellent and praiseworthy things, you will elevate your own life. My prayer is that you'll take some of these thoughts. I'll send these thoughts to you. If you focus on the truth, you'll speak the truth. If you look at noble things, nobility will mark your life. If you seek out lovely things, your life will become lovely to others. If you dwell on that which is right, that which is wrong will have no attraction to you. If you think about pure things, you'll become pure. If you look for admirable things, you will find them. If you search for excellent and praiseworthy things, you will elevate your own life. Paul gives us the answer on how to cast all our cares on God and think about what is true, noble, right, pure, lovely, admirable, excellent, and praiseworthy. If we're to put into practice what we have heard and seen in God's word, then the God of peace will be with us. The real so what for us today is, I would take home and write this verse on your mirror, put it on your counter. I can promise you that when you do, you'll be much happier with your 10,000 thoughts each day. Let us pray. Gracious Lord, we just come before you today, and we ask, Lord, that we would take thought every captive to you, and that we would focus on the truth, and we would focus on noble things, and we would seek out lovely things, and we would dwell what on is right, and think about what is pure, and look for admirable things, and we'll search for excellent and praiseworthy things in you and through you and in others. In Jesus' name we pray. I want you to know that God loves you. God loves you, and he's been pursuing you, and his love is constant. Think about his love, and he will never leave you or forsake you. In Jesus' name, amen. God loves you, and Pastor Dave loves you, and rest in that love of God. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless. Have a great day.
You've been listening to this week's Seed of Faith. Our prayer is that you have come to know how much God loves you. If you would like to know more about the ministry of the Seed Christian Fellowship, contact Pastor Dave at his email address, pastordave@theseedchristianfellowship.com. Or you can send a message through the church website, theseedchristianfellowship.com. You are invited to come to church Sunday mornings at 10 a.m. at the Rancho Cucamonga Community Center at 11200 Baseline Road in Rancho Cucamonga, California, 91730. The Seed is a wonderful fellowship of believers growing in God's love and grace. And when you do come, please make yourself known to Pastor Dave, because he would love to meet you. If you don't have a home church and you would like to find a church in your area, they can send you names of some local churches in your particular area. Well, thanks for joining us this week. And remember, God loves you, and so do we.